I was stuck donating plasma last week, so I was a captive audience, and The Rock was on, like, the movie The Rock, and I was like, this is kind of great.
It's not bad.
No, they didn't have the sound on, and I was just reading.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have to deal with Nicolas Cage. Like, that's the best version of Nicolas Cage is the one you can't hear.
Well, and that Cage isn't bad.
No, it's not, but, like, the beginning part before the action really starts when he's just trying to be like, yeah, baby, I will marry you. It's awful.
This came across an article the other day that was somebody photoshopped Nick Cage's face onto every Game of Thrones character. So just every character played by Nicolas Cage. It's pretty awesome. What's up? This is Movies on Up. America is rocking. I'm Dave, joined by my rocking co-host.
It doesn't matter what my name is.
My rocking co-host, Ryan The Rock Johnson.
All right, yeah. I would take that. I mean, I would literally change my name to that.
We are Movies on Up.
If it didn't cost any money.
We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, America is rocking. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. Central Intelligence comes out this weekend. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be rocking America with Kevin Hart. So we thought, hey, The Rock is an awesome guy. We enjoy The Rock. So we clearly love a lot of movies featuring The Rock. So it'd be easy to pick a top five, correct?
I like five. I didn't have a problem picking five. If I'd had to pick six, we'd have had an entirely different story.
Here's the thing. There's two that I really, really love. But I left off the list because
it is my number one.
They're essentially cameos, and they weren't.
Oh, no, never mind.
The two were just cameos. Well, the one was more than a cameo, but it wasn't a Rock movie. The other one was strictly just a cameo. So I left.
Oh, yeah, that one I didn't count at all, but it was phenomenal.
Reno 911.
Yes.
Yes, that is one of my also-rans because I couldn't count it.
That's one of the greatest cameos of all time.
Absolutely, especially because at the time I didn't know it was there.
Yep.
So that was fantastic. Other than that, I had to dig because I like my top three. I like doing actor episodes because we talk about it all the time. Like,
separates the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah, like we do a Denzel episode. And it's like, yeah, we knew we liked Denzel. We didn't realize that every movie Denzel did we like. Marky Mark, I knew I liked a couple Marky Mark movies. Didn't realize, like, oh, I like a lot of Marky Mark movies. And then you have somebody like The Rock or
Charlize Theron. That was
a
tough one.
Charlize Theron, where it's like, oh, I don't really like it. I like them, but I don't like a lot of their movies. So
I like him, but I don't like him.
Yeah. So I like The Rock. I guess I like The Rock, the person, and I like I like The Rock, the actor. I just don't like the movies The Rock, the actor makes, I guess.
I think that's fair. In fairness, we don't like the Fast and Furious movies, which, did any of those make your list?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
None of them made my list either.
I haven't seen it. They're just, I'm not into that kind of movie.
And they're hugely successful for him.
Yeah.
I think The Rock, the actor, by and large,
he brought that franchise back.
He makes movies that aren't for us. Whether they're kids' movies or whether they're Fast and Furious movies, those movies are not for us. They're for...
I mean, he's one of the biggest movie stars on the planet.
Certainly, yeah. And in terms of, like, bankable action stars, he's up there.
I mean, there's stuff coming out. Like, he's going to be Doc Savage
for
Shane Black. That gets me interested. Like, The Rock doing Shane Black dialogue?
Yes.
Especially for Doc Savage, who's just a weirdo and socially awkward? Like... Yes, sign me up.
San Andreas 2.
Baywatch.
Yeah.
He's doing a Jumanji, I think, is him and Kevin Hart.
Mm.
He's signing up for all this stuff, and most of them aren't projects for me.
Hercules, I don't care about.
And, like, even a show, like Ballers on HBO. I don't dislike it, but I don't like it. I don't understand it. It's not funny, so it's not a comedy, and I don't think I'm supposed to be laughing. There's no conflict. There's no villains, really. So it's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to feel when I watch that. So I think it's over my head. I think The Rock made a TV show that's too smart for me to get. Yeah. So I don't know. What's your number five Rock movie? I'm so, like, confused over this. But thank God it's not Rock movies featuring magic, because I would be even more at a loss.
I would somehow figure out a way to not have movies that had The Rock or magic in them. They would have like a rock and something else. My number five is from 2009, directed by Peter Berg, starring the aforementioned Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Sean William Scott, Chris Walken, and Rosario Dawson. It is The Rundown. In 2009, it was the first time that I acknowledged that The Rock was actually leading what I'm going to call a successful movie. Granted, The Scorpion King did make about $91 million, and I would guess that $90 million of that was from WWE fans packing the theater. But I think that when I mentioned there's different stages of The Rock, the actor's career, I think that this is where he started to transition into a bankable movie star, independent of his in-ring career, which obviously he doesn't go by The Rock anymore in his movies. He's Dwayne Johnson. He's built that name so people get it. In this one, he was paired with an actual Hollywood director in Peter Berg. You can make the argument that maybe in 2009 he wasn't an actual Hollywood director, but he's a good director. And he's got people in the cast, say what you want about Sean William Scott, but Christopher Walken and Rosario Dawson, that are very capable actors that aren't being asked to carry the film. Dwayne Johnson is carrying the film, and he does. I also think that this movie, while it may not be the first time that they got the formula right, but I think that they really maybe perfected the DJ formula in this movie. And it's, you have to have an element of physicality because he's a former professional wrestler and he's got that build. But with Stifler, he was able to throw in his charisma, which is something that not every giant guy can do. Vin Diesel doesn't have that charisma. Name your big action stars from any era. Most of them don't have the charisma. The ones that do are the ones that are like absolutely transcend. And I think that's where The Rock really differentiates himself in it. When we get to the rest of my list, maybe not necessarily my number four, it shows there a little bit. But as we go even further into his career, I think people have figured out that he can do more things other than punch and swing a sword. And when he's allowed to be the character of The Rock, then those movies are successful because people want to see him do that.
Yeah, this was higher on my list. One of the worst movies I've ever seen was originally my number five, but I'll bump it up just to talk about this one. I like this movie a lot. I like Sean William Scott. The first American Pie was fine, but I had no need for the rest after that. I liked what Sean William Scott was doing. This, they did Bulletproof Monk. That was another action movie with him. I think Goon was a really good movie.
I liked him in Jay and Silent Bob.
Cop Out.
Yeah.
It was really good in Cop Out. Like, I really like Sean William Scott when he's able to be Sean William Scott. And you take somebody like Sean William Scott at his William Scottiest and put it next to The Rock and you let The Rock be The Rock, they played off of each other very, very well. The concept of this movie was, I mean, it's Midnight Run.
In the jungle.
Yeah, we've seen this movie a million times where a mismatch of people that don't belong together, the Adam Sandler, Damon Wayans movie. Like, we've seen it a million times, but not with the charisma of The Rock and the chemistry with Sean William Scott. Christopher Walken is a pretty decent bad guy. And then Rosario Dawson, who just is great in everything. So I actually legit like this movie. This was originally number three on my list and not just like, oh, it's good for a Rock movie. I think it's good. I don't like dumb action movies most times, but this one was really, really entertaining and fun and goofy and just good.
My number four, speaking of Sean William Scott and The Rock, they teamed up 3 years prior in a movie that Dave hates. It's Richard Kelly's Southland Tales from 2006, also starring Justin Timberlake. For the better part of the last decade, certainly for the better part of the last 4 years, in this room, I have been the lone voice in the wind whispering my love for Richard Kelly's tale of post-World War III America. I think that this movie was actually about 6 years ahead of its time in casting Justin Timberlake and Dwayne Johnson as leads in what are more dramatic performances, certainly than we've seen from either of them at that time. Kelly had kind of gone out of his way to cast folks to really make that point. I think it was perfectly fitting for Timberlake, who obviously has some talent, and he's done dramatic roles since then, and he's been great in them. Even The Rock has spread his wings dramatically from here. Amy Poehler was in this movie before Amy Poehler was like a TV and movie star. There were a lot of folks that, I don't want to say he was trying to like break, but he had a giant cast that I think was full of a bunch of talented people. The movie itself is a little bit of a mess, to be honest.
That's the understatement of the century.
Wallace Shawn's got a pretty good opinion of it. He was in the movie. He didn't really understand the script, but he took the part after meeting with Kelly, and Kelly said, I wrote this part with you in mind, specifically for you. So he was like, all right, that's great. I'll do it. Apparently, that's the key to getting him in one of your movies, which, what the hell, I'll write a part for him tomorrow.
Make him think that you know who he is.
Make him think that you have a good script for him, and it's actually not a good script. I don't know. He signed on to do the movie and has seen it multiple times, and he really likes it, but doesn't know what the hell it's about. And I think that's pretty fair here. Kelly's certainly not a great director. Visually, the movie is pretty basic. There's not a lot of innovation in the shots. The camera's pretty stationary. He's certainly a storyteller or fancies himself one. And if this movie has a strength, it also has a giant weakness in the story. On the surface, like if you excise a lot of the crap, you have a story about The Rock, who's an action star, which he is now, has this script that he's writing with his former porn star, ex-girlfriend, Sarah Michelle Gellar, or kind of girlfriend, that seems to predict the future. There's all sorts of conspiracies, and you have this version of America, which you have to have like a visa to get from one state to the other. I think there's an election right at the beginning. I think it's Hillary Clinton and Joe Lieberman are running against a couple characters created from the movie. They're ultra-conservative. You have ultra-liberal Clinton, and if she picks Sanders, you can pretty much sub Bernie Sanders in for Lieberman. Honestly, I think that, and I don't know that life always imitates art, and I certainly hope that we don't have World War III, but you could make the argument that if Donald Trump wins in November, we're going to come pretty damn close to Southland Tales, and then you'll all have to come around to my line of thinking.
This was originally my number five, which I felt the day I put Southland Tales on a list is an all-time low for me, because I loathe this movie. I would say it's the worst movie I've ever seen, but I've also seen Richard Kelly's The Box, so that wouldn't be accurate. Everything you said about it was too nice. Like, it is a mess. The script didn't make any sense. The finished product didn't make any sense. You did have a great cast. There's a lot of good people in this movie who weren't terrible for what they had to work with, but they had to work with crap. Sean William Scott and The Rock, I think, were highlights if I had to pick them.
I thought Timberlake was good.
Timberlake was
good.
He was
real subdued.
But that music in the middle, just him doing the Killers,
yeah,
that sealed the fate of that movie, because I was trying to give it the benefit of the doubt until that. But then that just kind of like, oh, okay, like this is not for me. And I like the Killers and I like Justin Timberlake. It just seemed to turn into a completely different movie at that point. I hate this movie a lot. There are elements about it that I think maybe had potential, but maybe it's just because I have seen The Box and I thought like, oh, well, he can do worse. Like, he can and has done worse. So maybe I'll give this a little bit of a pass, but not much of one. But yeah, The Rock is in it.
My number three, it's not a Rock movie. Certainly it's more of a Rock movie than my number two is, but he has a sizable part in it. He's certainly not the leads. Those would be Steve Carell and Anne Hathaway. It's Peter Segal's Get Smart from 2009. Again, not a vehicle for DJ, but I think he steals the movie. There's a little bit of this movie in Spy, which we love so much from last year, with this desk agent becoming a surprisingly adept field agent. More of the similarities in the way that Statham steals Spy as this kind of completely bumbling guy that from his movie career you assume that he's just some giant badass, and in this movie he's completely incapable, but he runs his mouth like he's a giant badass. When you see The Rock in Get Smart, he's been taken out of the field and put behind a desk, so seeing him be in that role I think is kind of funny, and that's some of his best moments, or sort of him being somewhat of a fish out of water. But I think you get to see sort of another side when he does come out from behind the desk at the end of the movie. Physically, I think he's the perfect counterbalance to Steve Carell. But his personality in the movie is a nice compliment to Carell. I mean, you can pick any guy that's basically not a 150-pound white guy, and he's a great counterbalance to Steve Carell. But a guy that can be physically imposing opposite him and keep up with him on like a comedic timing level you're going to struggle to find that. And I think that this movie, I think The Rock really just, it's a Steve Carell movie. He was great in it. Alan Arkin was good in it. But The Rock, to me, stole every scene he was in.
This was originally higher on my list, but I'll make it my number three. I legit love this movie. Growing up, my babysitter would make me watch her shows, which I always hated, but for an hour each day, like up until I was in school, Get Smart was on. I was familiar with Maxwell Smart. I knew Agent 99. I got it. I knew the shoe phone and all that. Steve Carell was perfect casting for Maxwell Smart. Anne Hathaway, a perfect Agent 99. I thought the movie did justice. I thought it was a good modernization of Get Smart while still being the stupid goofiness of Get Smart. And you're right about The Rock. He does steal every scene he's in. And the final confrontation where Steve Carell flashes back to something that Anne Hathaway told him, when how to distract the villain. That's such a funny scene. And if you have, I don't want to say what it is, because if you haven't seen it, it's one of the hardest I've ever laughed at a movie. Like, I saw this in the theater. That was the summer that I just, every Friday, I went and saw a brand new movie at like 10 a.m. And this was one of them. And that's one of the hardest I've ever laughed in a movie theater, at that scene, because it just, it comes out of nowhere and it's hilarious. The Rock's really, really good in this movie. Like, Anne Hathaway is, I don't think she gets enough credit for her comedic ability. I mean, she burst with Princess Diaries, which she's pretty comedic in that. There's a lot of physical comedy, but then she kind of went more dramatic and stuff. But she's got comedy chops, and she went toe-to-toe with Carell in this movie, went toe-to-toe with The Rock. Like, everybody in this movie delivers, and The Rock does, much like he does in almost every movie he's in. He steals every scene he's in.
My number two is the movie that you left off your list, because he's not in it very long. But when he is in it,
it's fantastic.
It's amazing. And it is Adam McKay's The Other Guys from 2010, starring Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, Michael Keaton, but really The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson. Everything I love about Get Smart is present here, but to a much higher degree. DJ and Sammy Jackson are amazing as the hero cops. I would sign tomorrow to see a prequel movie about Highsmith and Danson, where they literally just cause wanton destruction in the city trying to apprehend jaywalkers and stuff like that. They're amazing. And I love the fact that basically their scenes are right at the beginning of the movie, and it sets sort of the table, the expectations for Alan and Terry, and they spend the rest of the movie in the shadow of these guys while being the butt of jokes from another pair of cops that I loved, Rob Riggle and Damon Wayans. I thought were really funny in this movie too. Everybody's hilarious. This movie made Derek Jeter funny. Michael Keaton as the TLC quoting police chief is still one of my favorite
Michael Keaton performances.
Oh, it's great.
Some of Michael Keaton's best work.
A very pleasantly funny movie. I wasn't a giant Adam McKay fan at this point, and I'm still not a huge Will Ferrell fan. But for whatever reason, I decided that I would give this a try, and I loved it. If the rundown introduced the perfect Rock equation of 50% action, 50% charisma, this movie unlocked the Will Ferrell Rock that is completely lacking of any self-awareness. And I love that Rock, too. More of that Rock in action movies, which is sort of what I'm hoping for from Central Intelligence. It's that completely characterized version of The Rock, where he is an action star and he does ridiculous action star things and doesn't think twice about it. That's what that man should be capable of doing.
Yeah, I did leave this off my list just because it's not a Rock movie.
It is not.
But him and Sammy Jackson are fantastic. And it's compared to Statham and Spy again, where they just steal the parts that they're in. And I know we've talked about this movie. I think it was high on both our lists for the Marky Mark list. So I absolutely adore this movie, and he's so good in it. Him and Samuel L. Jackson are perfect. My number two goes from 2004. It's kind of when he started to show a little bit more range. It is directed by Kevin Bray. It's from 2004. It's Walking Tall. It's a remake of a classic. Was it Bronson? It's an older...
The Jim Trafficant movie.
Yeah. He's a soldier that returns to his hometown, and it's overrun by corruption. So he and his baseball bat decide to take it back. This is like one of the first that we saw him in an action drama, because it is an action movie, but it's not your Fast and the Furious. It's not that kind of action movie. It's not your big time, big blockbuster thing. This is more of a subtle, under the radar, more of a drama than an action movie. The Rock isn't this loud, boisterous personality. Like, he's this soldier who's very serious and kind of just down to business. Johnny Knoxville is thrown in there as the comic relief, which generally in a Dwayne Johnson movie, you don't need comic relief because he does it all. But this was him doing a little something different. This was early enough in The Rock's career where it was his attempt to say, like, hey, I could do a lot more, because he is legit in this movie. He does carry this movie without The Rock charm. Like, we know that The Rock, the action star, could carry a movie, but The Rock, the actor, at this point, we didn't know that. And he kind of stood tall and he walked tall with it and delivered a pretty decent... I mean, Johnny Knoxville does everything he can to ruin this movie, but... It's an entertaining enough movie.
Joe Don Baker and Bo Svenson did the TV, and I think there was a sequel that he was into, but it seems like it would be in the Charlie Bronson milieu, but it is in fact not. My number one is a movie that was probably very high on my Mark Wahlberg list. If we did an Anthony Mackie list, it would probably be my number one, and it is in fact my number one. My favorite Dwayne Johnson movie, it is Michael Bay's 2013 Pain and Gain, starring the aforementioned Wahlberg, Johnson, and Mackie. I think all three of these guys are perfect casting as bodybuilders turned somewhat bungling kidnappers. Each of the leads are fully capable themselves of being borderline overdone in a movie. I think Anthony Mackie, like, just going through life is sort of too much. But every director he's ever worked with has done a good job of, or maybe he's just got some element of self-control when he's working that he can kind of dial it back. But certainly each of these guys, from a sense of humor standpoint, from a charisma standpoint, they have enough to where they can all lead a movie. And it could have just been too much. And Michael Bay is not really a director that is known for control and limiting things and not being too much. But I think he did a really good job here corralling all three of these guys and keeping them pointed in a direction in a movie that, if it wasn't a true story, you'd turn it off. There's no way in hell this would happen. But you have to just repeat to yourself about every 20 minutes through this that this is a real story and these were real guys. I like this version of Michael Bay. And I wish he would spend more time, certainly nowadays, more time doing this than trying to exploit things from my childhood. Because when we heard about this movie before it came out, we thought this could be the Michael Bay that we actually really like, doing a movie that isn't a remake of something else. Granted, this is based off a true story, but it's not a reboot of something else. It's not basically something else reheated. I'm not going to say that this broke Anthony Mackie. The Avengers probably did a hell of a lot more for him, or Captain America, than this movie did. But I think it shows that the guy is super capable of doing a character, which they all three did here. They did it wonderfully. Again, it's ridiculous, and they got three ridiculous guys to play the leads, and they did it wonderfully.
My number one is another different Dwayne Johnson movie. It's from 2010, directed by George Tillman Jr., written by Tony Gaten and Joe Gaten. It's Faster. This is one of those Dwayne The Rock Johnson movies that feels like a smaller movie. It's much like Walking Tall, where it wasn't Fast and the Furious. It's not a tentpole movie. But this is just a gritty, violent movie where Dwayne Johnson is just a vengeance-driven sociopath, and he pulls it off. It feels kind of like a Tony Scott movie, like style and tone wise has a Tony Scott feel, but it's just ultra violent, and it's just Dwayne Johnson getting out of prison and wanting to hunt down everybody that had anything to do with his brother's death, all while being hunted by a young hitman, an FBI agent played by Billy Bob Thornton, and a detective played by Carla Gugino. There are twists and turns. You don't really know where you're going with it. It is a movie where he's going down a list of people to kill, and it does go from point one to two to three to four to five. But there are enough twists and turns along the way that it's a competent action movie that's more than just The Rock punching and shooting people in the head, because there's his physicality's not really on display here. It's just him shooting people in the head. It's almost like The Rock's John Wick. In a way, you put The Rock in John Wick, and he's still just shooting dudes in the head. It doesn't change the movie all that much. Whereas Driver's really like that. You could see it with a smaller... Fast. I keep calling it Driver, because that's his character's name. And actually, I had it on my list as Driver and was wondering why I couldn't pull it up on IMDb. It's called Faster, but his character's Driver. Carla Gugino's detective. I think Billy Bob Thornton's just credited as agent. Or cop. Billy Bob Thornton is cop, and Carla Gugino actually has a name. It's a slower burn. Like, it's not... Because with The Rock, you have your big action scenes, and then you have The Rock being The Rock in between those. This isn't that. This is your violent revenge scenes, and then the brooding Rock, almost. The dark and brooding Rock. And it works. And I don't know that we'll see a movie like this from The Rock again, because, again, this isn't released as a tentpole.
I don't think he's in the stage of his career where he can do that now.
No. I mean, Snitch was probably the closest. Snitch came out 3 years later, which, competent movie. That's where he's, you know, he goes undercover to try
but
to...
But even then, it was sort of like Rock with a heart of gold trying to do something. You understood...
Yeah.
And what he was doing wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. So, I mean, Snitch is probably the closest we've come to just, like, a dramatic action movie with The Rock. I don't think we'll see another Rock movie like Faster. Because, I mean, if you look at everything he's got coming up, he's got Skyscraper. He's got
another Fast
Doc
movie.
Doc Savage, a couple more Fast movies. Like, everything he's doing are like, oh, these are tentpole movies. Like, even San Andreas was released, it was a big-time summer blockbuster that is somehow getting a sequel. Like, that movie was bad. You have The Rock and a wet Carla Gugino and Alexander Daddario, and it still wasn't good. I don't know how that gets a sequel, but more Rock and more wet Alexander Daddario and Carla Gugino, I'm all for it. But that was what The Rock has become now, where he's still The Rock in between. Like, yeah, he's driven by family in that one, but he's still charming, and the chemistry between him and Gugino was good. But Faster is just something different, and I would love to see another Rock movie like this, because he does have that. Like, he's physically imposing, and then you just add the relentlessness where he just wants to shoot dudes in the face. He's a legitimate foe.
It has that, like, history of violence kind of feel to it, Eastern Promises, except it's, like, a guy like The Rock. I mean, Viggo Mortensen could pull it off post-Lord of the Rings because he didn't have a giant career before that, and after that, he hasn't had a giant career. He's just, like...
He's in Hidalgo.
Yeah, he was, in fact. He's sort of just... I mean, he's probably always going to be best known for playing Aragorn in the Lord movies. The Rock is a dude that's just... He'll probably be best known for being The Rock, but he's had such successful movies that you can't make something that gritty
because
The Rock appeals to everyone
and
now.
This is
you
the
can't
kind of,
alienate people.
This is the kind of movie where if you put somebody like Dan Stevens in there, it's the same movie. It wasn't a different movie.
It didn't
movie.
Feature him.
Yes, it wasn't a different movie because The Rock was in it. He led a revenge thriller, and he was really good in it. But if it's Jason Statham, if it's Dan Stevens, if it's
Keanu
Reeves, like... It's the same movie.
Mel Gibson.
Whereas San Andreas, it's a Rock movie. Like, Central Intelligence, that's a Rock movie. And I think it was Kumail Nanjiani who had a really good tweet about a little heart and a great big Johnson is the tagline for that movie. He's like, they had to have written that tagline before they wrote the movie, right? Like, they came up with that tagline and then wrote the movie around it. But, like, I like The Rock in this because it wasn't The Rock being The Rock. And it was Range, just like Walking Tall. That was really before The Rock became The Rock. Like, he was just transitioning into giant movie star. But, you know, we're not going to see another Faster because we're going to see, you know.
You'll see another Hercules.
You'll see the next two Journey to the Center of the Earth movies or Race to Witch Mountain or whichever one of those two has become a franchise. Like, you know,
I think it's Journey to the Center of the Earth.
We'd see another Tooth Fairy or Game Plan type movie before we see another Faster because it'll be a hit. He starred as a hockey player.
The Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy. The Game Plan, he was a quarterback. Did you have also-rans?
Not really. Like I said, it was going to be tough to try and get a sixth movie. I do legitimately like my five movies. I haven't seen any of the Fast movies. They can't be also-rans, and there's a ton of them. I don't actually mind G.I. Joe 2, which could have, I guess, could have made my list. I would have liked more of The Rock and Channing Tatum.
That's my thing, is they realized they goofed up because they filmed a lot of that stuff after the fact. Like, the first G.I. Joe was not good, and Channing Tatum wasn't a big-time movie star at the time. Like, he was on his way up, and by the time they killed him off in G.I. Joe 2, he had broke with 21 Jump Street, Magic Mike. Like, so they went back and filmed a lot of new scenes with him and The Rock. Those were the best parts of the movie. If you gave me a whole movie with The Rock and Channing Tatum, and then you sprinkle in some Bruce Willis,
yeah,
I'm into that.
And whoever else was in that movie.
Adrian Palicki.
Sure.
Yeah, that's all I can remember.
That'd be the closest.
That's all I can remember from that movie. I'm pretty sure Ray Park was still Snake Eyes.
Yeah, he was.
I'm sure Stormtrooper was in there.
Stormtrooper? Storm Shadow?
Storm Shadow. Was that?
Joey Gordon-Levitt, I think, was in there somewhere.
Destro wasn't even that movie, was it? Christopher Eccleston wasn't back as Destro, was he?
I don't think so.
And Joey Gordon-Levitt, Cobra Commander, was just in a mask the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't remember much from that movie. I remember the really liking the bromance between The Rock and C. Tates. And Adrian Palicki kicked some ass, I believe. And then Bruce Willis was old and grouchy. So.
But also capable of kicking some ass.
Yeah, and got his paycheck, which at this point, that's what you
roll credits.
Yeah. Be Cool is the only other one. That's like the first.
I'm surprised that didn't make your list.
I really like The Rock in that movie.
But it's not a Rock movie?
It's not a Rock movie.
Certainly not.
And the movie itself isn't that good. It is an Elmore Leonard pseudo-sequel to Get Shorty. It wasn't good, but The Rock is really good as a, I believe he's a gay, aspiring actor or screenwriter. It was one of those two in there, but he was really good. But overall, the movie was just kind of weak. But that's like the first I saw The Rock as anything other than The Rock, because he kind of just let it loose in there, and he showed up and he committed to it, and he was really good in it. But the movie overall, I couldn't put. And then I had Reno 911 and the other guys.
Yeah.
Those are it for me. I thought I liked a lot more, but I really didn't.
That's it for us in silly lists for a while. Next week, we're going to take a little bit of a departure. We're going to do our five favorite movie speeches, and I can't honestly remember why. Independence Day. That's it.
2 comes out.
Which had a kick-ass speech from Bill Pullman, and you'd think that that would make my list somewhere, because I think it was my idea. But spoiler alert, it does not, because I found five that I like more.
See, I'm excited for this. So we come up with stupid lists or actor lists because I'm lazy. Those are all my ideas. The dumb lists are mine. When Ryan submits an idea, it's like our Halloween episode that was awesome. This one that I'm excited for because it's a little different. So I'm excited. I mean, after Magic and The Rock, I'm so stoked for these speeches episode. I think it'll be fun. It'll be different than what we're used to.
It'll be good to purge lists from
us. We'll purge. I need it. I need these last 2 weeks or I don't know when these episodes air. Hopefully they're back-to-back weeks, so that makes sense.
Yes, they are. Movie speeches and then The Purge after that.
Oh, yeah, then The Purge Anarchy. So we'll
see. Our halftime show, so that's it.
Yeah,
that's
I'm excited for
a
halftime
the first
show.
Half.
Yeah, I'm excited for a halftime show. But next week, we'll be doing our favorite movie speeches. So until then,
keep it up.